people look for things outside themselves to satisfy them. But I say to you, come to me, for I am the living water. I am the bread of life. Come to me. Turn to me. Listen to me, and I will satisfy your mouth with good things. I will cause you to ride on the high places of the earth. I will lift you up from miry clay, and I will set your feet upon a rock where your path will be firm and established. So come, turn your hearts to me, open your hearts to me, and let me fill you with my goodness. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen, amen. Here at VCF, we don't pass a container, but we do have a container in the back for our tithes and our offerings. And you can bring that anytime during the service, put it back there. And if you want to designate it, you could designate it. But this scripture came to mind in Leviticus 27:30. It said, every tenth of the land's produce, grain from the soil, or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. Can you say this with me? Say, the tithe is holy to the Lord. Now, if it's holy to the Lord, it should be holy to us, right? We should treat it with as much respect and value it as much as the Lord does. And the tithe causes the church to function. And when you put your tithe there, you're investing in good ground. You're helping people inherit God's promises and experience their benefits. Amen? So, Father, we give you thanks and praise. Lord, we count it a privilege and an honor to be able to give to you, Lord. And I thank you that you bless every gift and every giver, multiply it back unto them, Father. Cause it to be useful for your kingdom. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like you to turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 5. And Jesus is talking here. He started a ministry in Galilee, which was about 50 miles long, 20 miles wide, and there was probably, I don't know, maybe about 300,000 people in all the villages of that region. And, you know, Jesus goes to this hill and he starts teaching. And I wish I could go into all of his teaching right now, but can't. And he says here in verse 40 through 42, he says, if any man will sue you at the law and take away your coat, let him have your cloak also. And whosoever shall compel you to go a mile, go with him too. Give to him that asks you, and from him that would borrow of these, turn not away. So I'm entitling this, Go to the Extra Mile and How to Get More Out of Life. Now, how many know that sometimes going the extra mile is not easy? Right? You mean God wants me to do more than what's required of me? It all depends on whose power you're operating by. When you have a God that says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, or he calls you more than a conqueror, or he calls you victorious, or he's got unlimited power for you to operate by, he expects us to do more than the norm, right? I mean, did Jesus slack in any bit of salvation that he made for us or that he gave to us? I mean, you talk about going the extra mile. You know, when you leave heaven and you come to earth, that's a downgrade, right? You know, where there's darkness and sin and sickness here, and where Jesus was, there wasn't any of that. But he experienced that. So he's not asking us to do anything that he's not willing to do himself. All right? Now, here are five things that will help you get more out of life by going the extra mile. And we're just looking at these individually, but I'm going to give you these five. Number one, you got to avoid the temptation to retaliate and take revenge. And we talked about that last week. Today, we're going to talk about being able to endure hardships as a good soldier. How many has discovered that sometimes life can be hard, right? Things come up that you didn't expect or you didn't order or you didn't want. And a third thing to get more out of life by going the extra miles, you got to be willing to give yourself to God. How many know our God is a giver, right? For God so loved the world that he gave. And when we give ourselves to God, we open ourselves up to unlimited possibilities. Okay? And then the fourth thing that's going to help you get more out of life by going the extra mile is you have to be willing to serve God and others. You know, the best competition you could have is try to outserve one another. Amen? Because Jesus said the greatest in the kingdom of God is the servant. And then finally, the fifth thing is be a person of meekness. Okay? So those are the five things that are going to help you get more out of life. So Jesus is telling us here, he's teaching us, if someone compels you to go a mile, Jesus is telling us to go two. Jesus is telling us to go beyond the normal mark. He's telling us to leave mediocrity and to excel. And that's exactly what he did when he came to this earth. So going the extra mile, it can be hard. It can be difficult. Your flesh will resist it. For as many people as love the snooze button on the alarm clock. You know, our flesh, it has to be made to do extra, right? We have got to take our flesh and we've got to make it do the things that we need it to do. If we just let our flesh go, it'll get us into heaps of trouble, all right? I know because I've let my flesh go and it got me into heaps of trouble, all right? So go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Paul begins to encourage a young minister by the name of Timothy. And this chapter of chapter 2, it's a very interesting chapter. It's going to help us endure. See, going the extra mile is enduring. You know, what does it mean to endure? To endure simply means to continue. Things are coming at you. Things are happening. They're trying to stop you, but you keep going on. You keep going forward. You keep progressing. That's what it means to endure. Okay? Now, I want you to know this. I have to clear the air. Jesus did not create us to be a doormat. Amen? He did not say for us just to let down and to be trampled over. No, he wants us to use faith. Amen? And through faith, we have the victory. Through faith, we overcome challenges. Through faith, we go through difficulties. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, here's what Paul said by the Holy Spirit, verse 1. He said, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Be strong in the grace. If you want to endure hardship, if you want to be able to go the extra mile and get more out of life, you're going to have to be strong in God's grace. Notice, God told us to be strong in something that is not weak. God will not tell you something, he will not tell you to be strong in something that's weak or that will fade away or that will falter. But he's telling us that there is grace from God and we can be strong in that grace. We can be strong in God's power. Grace is God's power. It's God's goodness. It's God's ability working in us. Grace is a free gift. Amen? Grace helps you get saved. Grace helps you serve. Grace helps you stand. You know, the Bible says, having done all to stand, stand therefore. How can you, if you've done all that you can to stand, how can you stand? You can do it with God's grace. God's grace comes on you, and it envelops you, and it infuses you with God's strength, power, and ability. That's what grace does. Grace causes the goodness of God to flow to you. It causes the goodness of God to overwhelm you. It gives you access. You know, Paul started about every one of his letters talking about, I am what I am by the grace of God, or I'm an apostle by the grace of God. It was the grace of God that gave Paul the ability, who only knew persecution prior to preaching, right? Paul was really good at persecuting, and he could do it without thinking, but this preaching thing, that was all new to Paul. So how could this persecutor change from persecuting to preaching? He could do it by the grace of God, through God's ability, through God's power, through God's goodness. And he tells Timothy to be strong in the grace. Where's the grace? The grace is in Christ Jesus. The grace is in the Word of God. Okay? And then he goes on to say, well, let me just, this word be strong is talking about to be strengthened inwardly. Anybody got some intestinal fortitude? All right? You've got, how many know that it takes guts to serve God? Right? Sometimes it requires you to take a bold stand, an unpopular stand. Was Jesus accepted by everybody? Oh, no. I mean, people wanted to kill him. They tried several times. But he could just walk away. Because he didn't let anybody take his life. He laid it down. There's a difference. No one could take his life until he laid it down. So this, in other words, this phrase, be strong, I love this. It means to be invested with power. Woo! How many know God's made an investment in you with power? We're supposed to have faith in the power of God, not the eloquence of men. Paul said that. Don't put your faith in the eloquence of men. Put your faith in the power of God. And he made this statement in Romans 1:16. He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? It is the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. So, part of enduring hardness is to be able to be strong in the grace of God. God doesn't expect you to endure on your own strength or on your own ability or within your own skills. He puts his skills and his equipment with you to be able to do that. Okay? So, then he says, verse 2, and the things that you have heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Then verse 3, therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now, I've never had the privilege of serving in our armed forces, but these are some thoughts that came to me. He equates enduring hardness being a good soldier. A good soldier is tough. How many know we want soldiers that are tough, right? They go through basic. We don't want anybody defending this country who is a wimp. They got to be tough. They got to be obedient, right? Can soldiers just choose to do whatever they want to do? No, they got to follow orders, right? A soldier has to be loyal. They're to defend the Constitution against enemies within and without. They've got to be loyal to their troop, loyal to their platoon or whatever. A good soldier has to be courageous. They go into harm's way willingly. We're supposed to endure hardness. How? As a good soldier. A good soldier is disciplined. Right? How many times do they have to do things over and over and over again in order to, they have to perfect it, right? You know, I know, one thing is that when a soldier's trained, they can never leave their weapon unattended. They have to know where their weapon is all the time. How many know we got to know where our weapon is all the time? Amen? Okay? So a good soldier is trained. You know, they get trained to fly the aircraft, to operate the machines, to detect enemies. They're well trained. We have to endure hardness as a good soldier. We have to be trained. Guess what? You're being trained today. Welcome to Training 101. Each and every time the church meets, you're being trained in how to apply these things to your life. You're being trained in how to do these things. Then a good soldier is brave. So we're supposed to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and we're supposed to endure hardness as a good soldier. Listen, sometimes life is going to be hard, but you can get through it with Jesus Christ. There's nothing that you can face that Jesus can't handle. There's nothing that the enemy can throw at you that Jesus can't defeat. I mean, Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, okay? But this is how we're supposed to endure. Then he says, well, what is a good soldier? He goes on, verse 4, no man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. Whether you like it or not, we have all been drafted into God's army. And God has chosen you. Now, when a soldier does a tour of duty, they're apart from their family. They leave their family. They have to endure some things. They have to endure separation. But, listen, the affairs of life can tangle you up. How many's ever been tangled by the affairs of life, right? And he's telling us, see, we're in a war. You got to understand that we are in a spiritual war. And we fight this war differently than the natural. We fight it with spiritual means. So no man entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. Our goal is to please God. Did you know that it pleases God to endure hardship? Jesus endured hardship. He went to the cross. He was criticized. He was mocked. He was beat. But yet, what happened? He had a resurrection. Who got the better of it? Did they get the better of Jesus, or did the resurrection get the better of it all? I mean, the devil unleashed everything that he had. He unleashed his whole arsenal on Jesus. He couldn't stop him. He couldn't defeat him. And when Jesus died and rose again, his work began to multiply. It began to increase more than ever. This is how we can endure hardness. This is how we're going to get more out of life. You are geared to endure. You are not geared to give in or to give up. Some of you have thought about giving up. It's not time to give up. It's time to dig in. It's time to stand your ground. It's time to call upon the Lord. It's time to trust in him like you've never trusted before. You got to seek to please God because he's the one who enlisted you in his army. Then he says, verse 5, and if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. How many know that you got to follow God's rules? Did you ever know you can't play football with basketball rules? It doesn't work. Why? Rules for basketball were designed for basketball. Rules for football were designed for football. And rules for the kingdom were designed for the kingdom. How many know God's got rules? But those rules are to protect you. Those rules are to help you. Why? God knows the end before the beginning. He knows the trouble that comes when we don't follow his rules. He's not legalistic because he said where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. God's free. God's rules make you free. They don't bind you. They don't hinder you. They actually help you. Amen? So if you're going to strive, you're going to have to do it lawfully. You're going to have to do it according to his rules. Okay? And go down to verse 9. Paul said, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Did Paul suffer some things? He was put in prison many times for preaching the gospel. But what's Paul didn't, he didn't concern himself with the trials and the tests that he faced. He didn't concern himself with the imprisonment because he knew that the word of God was not chained. The word of God was not imprisoned. It didn't matter what happened to Paul. Paul was going to finish what God told him to do. Why? Because Paul endured as a good soldier. Paul went the extra mile. He wrote the majority of the New Testament. We're getting to benefit from what Paul did in his ministry. Okay? Verse 10. Therefore, I endure all things. How many things? He endures all things. Why? For the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Listen, the greater good is seeing someone get saved. Amen? It doesn't matter what happens to us. I wanna be like Paul. I'm gonna suffer some things so that other people can get saved. How many know when missionaries go to a place that's never preached the gospel, they might suffer some things? Paul was one of them. Everywhere that Paul went, he went where the gospel was never preached. And he would lay the foundation. He was a wise master builder. But he endured. Sometimes you're going to have to endure some things so that people can get saved. When you share the gospel, people might criticize you. They might call you names. Well, if you get to preach the gospel, let them call you what they want. Because maybe that seed will take root in their heart, and that'll bring about the change. You know, I shared this story once before, but I heard his personal testimony in person. He was preaching at the church I went to in Tennessee, Cleveland Christian Fellowship. His name was Mac Gober. Mac Gober was a special forces guy. And before he met Christ, he would go on binges, and his friends would have to lock him in a barn for 3 days. And he was a very rough-looking character. He said critters used to live in his beard. And when he would eat a jelly donut, the jelly would drop down to his beard. He said, that's just food for my pets or my critters. Anyway, there was a lady who was passing out tracts in the apartment complex where Mac Gober lived. And when he opened the door, she went to hand him a tract. He punched her in the face, and the tracts went flying. But you know what happened that night? That night, he picked up one of those tracts. That night, he read that tract. That night, he gave his heart to the Lord. And if you hear him tell this story, I mean, he tells this story with tears. God took this rough, hard individual, and because a lady was passing out tracts, she got punched in the face for it, but he got saved. Yeah, we're going to have to endure some things. You're going to have a skin on you like a duck. That water just rolls off the back. You know, when people criticize you, when people speak harsh words against you, you got to let it roll off your back like water off a duck's back. Can you be like a duck? Just don't quack up. Now notice verse 11. I want you to see the benefit of what happens when we endure hardship. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also what? Reign. Do you mean that when you go through some hard times, when you go through something that's difficult, that's challenging, that's trying, if you trust in the grace of God, if you trust in God's power, you're going to reign with him. He's going to take that suffering and he's going to translate it into reigning. How many want to reign? Well, if you want to reign, then you're going to have to endure. Whiners don't reign. Complainers don't reign. Grumblers don't reign. Critics don't reign. Those who endure reign. Go with me to Matthew chapter 10, verse 22. What are some things that you might have to endure? Matthew 10, 22. Now this is encouraging for everybody going into the ministry. You shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endures to the end shall be what? Hey, you're about to go into the ministry. Men might hate you. Well, maybe I won't go into the ministry. That's exactly what the devil wants. He tries to intimidate you to stop you from fulfilling God's plan for your life. You might have to endure people's hatred. Go to Matthew 24. Matthew 24, verses 9 through 13. Then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and shall be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Boy, that's really encouraging, Jesus. What do you mean? I thought it was going to be awesome and rosy and peachy keen and rainbows and bubbles and puppy dogs. No, there's going to be some things you have to endure. Did they hate Jesus? Well, if they hated Jesus, who was perfect, who did nothing wrong, how much more are they going to hate us? Can you endure people's hatred? Can you make it through that? Verse 10, then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Many false prophets shall rise and deceive many, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Can you endure people losing their love for people and for God? Or are you just going to join the bunch? It's easy to do what everybody else is doing. But look at verse 13. But he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. Hallelujah. God's got good things for endurers. Those who endure, those who can put up with things, those who can go through some things, that God's got rewards for you. God's got blessings for you. God's got benefits for you. It will cause you to get more out of life. When I was in Tennessee, I was working at the school. They had a Christian school, and the school year had ended. So did my paycheck, because in the summer months, they didn't pay their teachers. So I had just gotten married, and I needed a job. And one of the guys in the church, he was a painting contractor. And so I talked with him, and he said, would you like a job? And I said, yes. I had never painted before. And so I learned how to paint. But at that time, his father was also living. His father was called to preach, but he never went to preach. Instead, he painted. And he was one of the most ornery individuals you would meet. You'd be painting, okay? And if he didn't like what you were doing, he'd step in front of you. He took the paintbrush out of your hand. He said, go like this. And, you know, he talked with one. He had lung cancer, and he had to have one of those things, you know, that he talked with. So that even made him more ornery, okay? And, I mean, he was just mean. He didn't care for how he made you feel. He didn't care if he embarrassed you. He was just mean and ornery. And one day we were on a job, and here he comes, you know, he always had his routine, and he didn't do much work at this time, but he would come on the job site. And he came one day, and he was in a more of an ornery mood. You know, if you mess with if you swat a beehive, it's kind of like that, you know, when you hit the beehive and all the bees come out, this is how he was. So on the job site, I mean, If you didn't have any endurance in you, I would have quit. But he came on the job site, and I went up to him. And I said, you know what? I just want you to know that I love you. And I gave him the biggest hug ever. He didn't know what to do with that. And you know what? That helped me in the future because he didn't give me as much of a hard time. And the guys that I worked with, they talked about that for a long time. They said, remember when you hugged him? They couldn't believe it. They were shocked. No one has ever done that before. But you know what? You have to be able to endure hardness, hardship, as a good soldier. Life is not always going to be easy. Relationships are not always going to be easy. Things in life, you're going to face challenges. But here's the key. You have God's grace that you can rely on. And you can be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And that grace will come upon you. That grace will help. It'll make what's being done to you like nothing. I mean, think about it. When Stephen, who was the first martyr of the early church, no one could argue against him. And when he spoke, they didn't know how to answer him. And one day, he was giving them the truth. And they had some false accusers to falsely accuse him. And when he spoke, it was like looking at an angel because the glory of God was on him. And so they were taking him out to be stoned. And while they were throwing the rocks at him, I'm sure that he had no feeling of the rocks because he was looking up to heaven. And he saw Jesus giving him a standing ovation. He saw the heavens open, and he saw Jesus, the Son of God, giving him a standing ovation. Because Stephen had endured the persecution. He endured the hatred. He stood strong in what God called him to. He wouldn't back down. And guess what? Jesus stood up. Jesus gave him a standing ovation. Jesus received him into heaven. His endurance caused him to be promoted. Yeah, I don't think his body felt the rocks that were hitting him. Because he endured. He stood strong in the grace of God. Go with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Now, a message on enduring hardness may not get a lot of amens, but it'll help your life. Because we all face trials. We all face difficulties. We all face challenges. But we don't face it alone. God is right there with you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. How many know that God's got assurance for you? In the midst of a challenge, God will assure you that you will win. Okay? As you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction. Wow. And with joy of the Holy Ghost. They were in the midst of affliction, but the word through the Holy Spirit and the power brought joy. In the midst of affliction. So that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only to Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. So because they endured, because they received what God's message in the midst of affliction, their message was used to help others. It was used to spread the word in that region. How many know God is looking for some people that will stand up for him? When you stand up for God, he will stand with you. Amen. And he'll stand up for you. How come Moses, who was on Egypt's most wanted list, could appear before Pharaoh? So many times, Pharaoh couldn't arrest him. Pharaoh couldn't do anything to Moses. Why? Because he was strong in the grace that is in God. He went because he was doing what God told him to do. He was operating by faith. And he could appear before Pharaoh fearlessly. He could come to Pharaoh and he could say, the most unpopular message to Pharaoh was, let my people go. Pharaoh couldn't do anything about it. Why? Because the grace of God that was on Moses' life. Oh, you mean grace was in the Old Testament? Absolutely. What do you think helped the people out? They just didn't have the full understanding of it like Paul did. Amen? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians 13. Some of you probably know where I'm going. What does love do? Look at verse 7. Love bears all things. Once again, that doesn't mean that you're a doormat. If someone mistreats you, guess what? They broke their trust. And guess what? You don't have to trust them. You still have to love them, but you don't have to trust them. Amen? Now, sometimes that's hard. Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. And what? Endures what? All things. Here's what I mean. When you're being mistreated by someone, you put your faith in God, all right? And you refuse all the ill feelings that come with the mistreatment against the person. Because how many know people aren't your problem? It's the devil or the demon that is influencing the person. Right? Because ultimately, behind every form of mistreatment, the devil reigns. Okay? Jesus was mistreated by the best. They ultimately crucified him. And what did he do on the cross? He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. See, his faith in God caused him to operate in forgiveness to override the mistreatment that was happening to him. Do you get that? It was the grace and the faith of God that, though, yes, he was being mistreated, and though the mistreatment wasn't right, he overrode it. And he was able to forgive them. And that's what I'm talking about. The grace of God that comes. See, grace is freely given to believers. It is a free gift, all right? Whether you use it or not is up to you, but it's a free gift. Now, you can get a gift and you can still leave it in the package. You can leave it unopened, and therefore it does you no good, all right? Grace empowers men to serve. It's an empowerment where God's power comes on you and it enables you. All right? Grace is also, it empowers you to serve. Grace enables you to lead. When you don't have the ability to do something, Paul would say, I am what I am by the grace of God. He knew that within himself, he didn't have the ability to do what God wanted him to do, but he said, I am what I am by the grace of God. Okay? And then finally, grace is an endowment. Luke 24:49, it says, wait for the promise of my Father until you be endued with power from on high. An endowment is a special thing that gives you the ability. Like, let's, for example, you don't have the funds to go to school, but you discover that you qualify for an endowment. And this endowment has been set up for someone who meets these qualifications, but it enables the person to be able to do something that they didn't have the ability to do. So grace enables, grace empowers, grace endows. Okay? We have to, James tells us that we have to endure temptation. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This all relates to going the extra mile. Jesus said, if someone compels you to go 1 mile, go 2. They didn't compel you to go 2, they only asked for 1, but you're ready to do more. Why? Because you got a greater power working on the inside of you. You have greater good. You have a greater enablement. You have a greater endowment that causes you to go beyond the normal mark. That's what the Apostle Paul did. He went beyond the normal mark. Okay? 2 Corinthians 4:1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we what? We faint not. You know, when someone faints, they're overwhelmed. In all the things that the apostles faced, they didn't faint. They endured. They suffered. They did it with a good attitude. Uh-oh. Why'd you have to include that, Pastor? Because I didn't. God did. But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. In other words, they let the grace of God that was operating in their life be on display. That you're not seeing me, but you're seeing God at work. You know the three Hebrews in Daniel? They were told to bow to the golden statue of Nebuchadnezzar. What a vain king. He makes a golden statue of himself. He wants people to worship it. Now, let's just take this. Let's just pretend that we're in the king's court, okay? And every one of you are bowing. But can I have three volunteers stand up? I just need three people. Stand up quick. One, two, one more. Three, okay. Everybody's bowing except for three. The king. He's looking. One, two. He said, what's going on here? He brings the three. He said, okay. Maybe you didn't hear me correctly. Maybe you had a lot of wax in your ears or something. I don't know. But when the music plays, you need to bow and worship my statue. Music starts playing. Everybody's bowing. And the king looks out. He sees these same three people. Okay, you guys can sit down. Thanks. He was furious. I mean, he was beyond angry. He blew a gasket. If Nebuchadnezzar would have been a cartoon, his face would have been red and steam would have been coming out of his ears. You know how they do that in cartoons? They said, oh, king. Oh, let's just turn there. Daniel 3. Let's go there for a minute. I'm almost done. I want you to see this. Daniel 3. Verse 17. If it be so, if what be so, if you throw us in or if you turn it up hotter, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But then they say, but if not, you know what? They're not saying if God doesn't deliver us. Because obviously if you're burnt to a crisp, it doesn't really matter. They're saying, if you don't throw us in, we're still not going to worship you. We're still not going to give in. We're still not going to bow. We're still not going to yield to your request. Because their request was not of God. Their request was of the devil, who wanted Jesus to bow down and worship him when he was tempting him in the wilderness. And Jesus said, you shall worship the Lord your God. Him only shall you serve. Jesus refused to bow, just like these three refused to bow. Who were they putting their trust in? Their trust was in God. They knew God would deliver them. They knew it didn't matter what happened to them. Our God is going to deliver us. Amen. And they faced the furnace. We know they tried to make it hotter, but I mean, hot is hot. Amen? I mean, if it's hot enough to burn you, it's hot. I don't care. Seven times hotter, if it can burn you, it's hot. They went into the furnace. But who showed up with them? The giver of the grace, showed up with them. And grace came into that fire. Grace came into that furnace. And they were having a good time in grace, man. I mean, if you'd open up that fire, there might have been music playing because they were dancing in the fire. See, grace will cause you to be joyful in tribulation, be joyful in persecution. Say, bring it on, boys. Come on. Is that all you can do, devil? What happened? Fire couldn't touch him. The persecution couldn't stop him. And when they came out, they had a revival in Babylon. King made a decree, we're going to worship their God. So much for this statue, we're going to worship this God right here. See, when you stand for God, great things can happen. When you endure hardship as a good soldier, you can get more out of life. Okay, one final example, then I'm done. Let's go to, let me see which one I want to go first. Go to 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 19. Paul says this. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all that I might gain the more. Why did Paul serve people? He served them to lead them to Christ. Amen? That's what our service ought to do. Our service ought to inspire people to Christ. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them under that are under the law. To them that are without the law, as without the law. Paul became all these things so that he could win someone from these groups of people. He became things that he was unwilling, that was uncomfortable for him to be. He was a Jew, yes, but you know what? He gave up Judaism for Christ because he found the truth. Okay? To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am all things to all men that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be a partaker thereof with you. So, Paul, he did some things that were unpleasant, uncomfortable, so that he could win people to Jesus. Amen. He was all things to all men. He didn't put himself above others. All right? Moses endured the wilderness of Egypt. Joseph endured the pit in the prison. Daniel endured peers that wanted to destroy him. Ruth endured a bitter mother-in-law. And she was willing to encounter a new country and a new culture. Jesus endured the cross, the suffering, and the shame. And when you endure by putting your faith in God, God will put you over. That's what's given you is the hard time. You'll be like, when God puts you over, you'll be like, what was that? That was like a speed bump, a bump in the road. I mean, when God puts you over, he puts you over. Right? He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Anybody have a demonic spirit assigned to them that the main goal was to buffet you? Huh? Paul did. He called it his thorn in the flesh. If you read about it, it was a demonic spirit that was assigned to Paul, and his job was to buffet Paul so that Paul, because of the abundance of revelations that Paul had, the devil did not want those revelations to be getting out. So he did everything he could to Paul. Beat him 5 times with rods. Whipped 3 times. Jesus was whipped once 39 times. Paul was whipped 3 times like that. 39 times each. Paul was stoned, left for dead. They gathered around him and prayed. He went right back into the city that stoned him. How many of us would do that? Oh, they stoned me. I'm not going back in there. Well, listen, you can do amazing things through the grace of God. God's grace is for you. God's grace is there to help see you through. God's grace is available today. Whatever you need grace for, God's got it for you. Grace can heal your body. Grace can heal your marriage. Grace can heal your heart. Grace can heal your brain. Grace can do amazing things. Grace can provide for you when all other opportunities are lost. So it seems. How many know, if you think all opportunities are lost, God's got some other opportunities that you don't know of. Amen? He kept that path hidden through the Red Sea until he needed it. And then once he needed it, he had it ready for his people. So there are some people here today that I believe that you need God's grace because you're going through some things, you're facing challenges, and God's grace wants to help you endure. He wants to help you make it through. He wants to help you to overcome. He wants to help you succeed. Amen? If that's you today, and if you need the grace of God in your life, then I want to invite you up front, and I'd like to pray for you. Men, we believe in the power of prayer, but we also believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I mean, I couldn't heal a fly with a headache, but I'm just a conduit for the power of God. Amen? And I know the power of God is here. And God wants to help you endure like a good soldier. A good soldier comes home. Amen? But even if a good soldier loses his life, it's for the greater good of freedom, isn't it? So who needs the grace of God today? You need to be touched by the grace of God today. Today is your day. Grace is freely here. God's going to give you grace. Only God's grace can smooth out the path. Father, we give you thanks and praise that your grace is here. And I thank you, Lord, that you freely give your grace. And Lord, people who are coming up today, Lord, they're putting their faith in the grace of God. When you come up today, you're putting your faith in the grace. Amen? You're taking your eyes off the issues. You're putting your faith in grace. And God's going to touch you. Hallelujah.